All right. It's the second leg of Six Rings and Football things right now, because we do have a listening audience, not just the people that Andy likes to play to on our live stream whenever we record Six Rings. And we do have some breaking news to get to. Actually, I think this is the least surprising breaking news in the NFL or the history of the NFL. After the Jets looked like crap once again on offense and got another L hung on them, definitely Robert Saleh's fault. Oh, totally. Thank God you got Jeff Ulbrich in there, everyone, and changed play callers to from Nate Hackett to Todd Downing. Well, Downing Abbey didn't get it done. 23-20 Bills was the final on Monday night. And what do the Jets do on Tuesday morning? Wake up and choose violence. Or at least they wake up and choose the predictable chaos. That is bringing Devontae Adams to town. That's right. Aaron Rodgers is reunited with his boo. He gets his binky on the outside. The Raiders don't have to worry about that headache any longer. They're going to get a third-round draft pick that can be turned into a second if necessary. So it seems like fair compensation. They paid a whole hell of a lot more than that. They got a couple of years out of him. Nothing good came of it. What do we think is going to happen for Aaron Rodgers, who has not thrown for 300 yards in forever? It has not elevated the level of the Jets the same way that Peyton Manning did the Broncos or that Brady did the Buccaneers. Is this the final key to the Aaron ayahuasca Darnie Darkness puzzle?
I'm a Jets believer in their talent, so I think something has to wake them up. Watching that game last night, Rodgers was an emotional mess. He just kept like looking up at the lights with like these lost eyes, these empty eyes. This is his boy. You know, you put the band back together, and whatever you think of Rodgers and whatever you think of Adams now, Rodgers, Adams, and Garrett Wilson, that's a pretty good trio.
Well, yeah, and also, Breece Hall, who they continue to still get nothing out of. Braylon Allen, not Braylon Edwards. That receiver's been retired for a long time. Braylon Allen is a rock solid RB2. Like, yep. They have the talent, and they've got a good line. They really should be out of excuses. I'll tell you what. You put Drake May on this Jets team, they're not scoring 20 points a night. I said it.
I kind of agree, because I think he would bring energy, effort, and attitude. And I think right now the Jets' problem is energy, effort, and attitude. And it starts with the quarterback. I think he needs to snap out of it. Now, I don't think he's as good as he once was. I think that's clear. Like, I just think he's making plays, missing plays that he used to make, and he doesn't anymore. But don't tell me he's not capable of making plays. He can still be a good enough quarterback, even if he's not a goat quarterback or a boat quarterback or whatever the hell you wanted to call him in his heyday. And with those weapons, he, like I said, the Patriots entered the fun with the quarterback position with Drake May. He's entered the conversation as like the best quarterback wide receiver combinations in the NFL, and he better make good use of it.
Ooh, I like this question. Kenny Tasney, who's currently watching on Facebook as we record the latest Six Rings and Football things, would you hire Robert Saleh to New England as defensive coordinator? Our defense, not so great, and Saleh as a DC was pretty good. Now, I do ask you this as a follow-up to that, Andy. Do you think Saleh was a good defensive coordinator? Kind of like, well, it's easy to be a really good chef when you're working with like foie gras, caviar, Irish butter, and Kobe beef.
I just want the Kobe beef and none of the rest of that. But
yeah, I'm suddenly hungry. I don't know why.
I think he was a good defensive coach with really good talent and also a good offense. Like, you know, they were a good complementary football team when he was out there. I don't know that that works. I don't know, like, schematically with the Mayo Covington Belichick style defense, and then you're going to bring in Saleh. How does he want to run it? And now you have a former head coach under a defensive head coach. It's very weird. It's a weird situation. Yeah, that's the one thing we learned last night. My dream of Bill Belichick and Aaron Rodgers teaming up with the Jets ain't happening.
Nope. I don't have the clip, but I'm sure a lot of you saw it either on social media later or during the Manning cast. But Peyton on the Manning cast synthesized a copy of the napkin that Belichick submitted to the Jets. I resign as HC of the NYJ-BB. And then Belichick just absolutely brought the Jets to the woodshed, finished with them, carried them to the dumpster, tossed them in, and then lit it on fire. What did he say? Like, oh, that's an organizational thing. You know, that's the way that owner does. You know, they just find someone to blame, and then it's ready, fire, aim.
Yep. Yeah. Oof, no, he
toast. Boom. Roasted.
Clearly, time has not healed wounds, and he's not they are off my Bill watch list of potential landing spots for Bill Belichick, even though I think it would be the most fun, enjoyable one from a theatrical perspective and a story. So, yeah, I'm interested. Like, the Bills get an ugly win last night. With everything that went on, if the Jets won last night and they got a Hail Mary at the end of the first half at Rodgers doing Rodgers things, they win game. They're in first place. And with a new
coach. Now they're down with the Patriots and the Dolphins. Again,
Patriots, they're not down that far.
All right. Well, I mean, the Pats easily could be 2-4, if not 3-3. But I know they're 1-5.
And the Jets could be 3-2 and in first place. You are what your record says you are. And you're a football team that lost five in a row.
I understand that they are a team that has lost five in a row, ding dong, that they're not very good. I understand the talent surrounding Drake May.
You lost to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are the worst team in football, and you lost
with Jacoby Brissett. And I don't want to play the why didn't you start Drake May earlier game, but also why didn't the Patriots?
The plan was stupid.
Yes, it was. There is something we can all agree on. The plant, And I didn't even make it. There was no sense of, you know what? Actually, I think Mayo tried to explain a little bit around the plan. Let me see if this word salad brings any comfort to anyone.
Nope.
You know, through the draft, we're always trying to improve our roster. Now, in saying that, we had, you know, a lot of holes on the roster that we felt coming out of the draft that we addressed. Now, in free agency, we still felt like we signed the best offensive lineman in Mike Onwenu. And then re-signing some of our own players, which was definitely part of it. Now, once again, look, this isn't a one-year thing in my mind. It's going to take time to continue to build out the roster, and that's how it is.
All right, that was less about the plan and more about why the roster around Drake May is not so good. Okay, you signed the best offensive lineman you think is available via free agency. He happens to be your own. He hasn't been particularly good this year.
No,
you still didn't address some of the other
needs.
Sinking
boat drags all boats down, apparently, or something like that.
Do we just need to stop talking about the roster at large now at this point? Otherwise, we're going to drive ourselves nuts. Okay.
That's how I approached it with my co-host on Monday because he was so fixated on the bad roster. That's been a bad roster.
He was big mad about it too.
Like, but I don't get it. I don't understand how people like him, you people, thought somehow you had one pick at the top of the draft and were somehow going to draft a blue chip quarterback, a blue chip left tackle, and a blue chip wide receiver with one pick. Like, you were going to split it somehow, double down.
It wasn't going to happen that way, but there are some other receivers that were taken that have been more productive. But maybe you could also say, hey, those people landed in better situations with more established quarterbacks. Sure. There was a run on left tackles that supposedly the Patriots were surprised by.
Who looks so a stud wide receiver the Patriots could have had?
Who looks like a stud wide receiver the Patriots could have had? I still would have taken Ladd McConkey at 32.
Yeah, he's not a stud wide receiver. He's a run-of-the-mill receiver right now.
He is not run-of-the-mill. Don't you dare ever take those words out of your whore mouth.
Not a number one receiver. So I just, like, there's all these dreams. Could they have done things differently? I still say the biggest sin for me, for Elliott Wolf in roster construction, was not getting a left tackle of any sort. Everything was about, this veteran could play there. This rookie could play there. They didn't get a left tackle. And then they were stunned when they, oh my God, didn't have a left tackle. That was, to me, a really, really bad decision by Elliott Wolf.
Yes, I completely agree. What do you think about the idea? Marcus Jones on offense more.
Oh, I'm all for that. That's fine. Like, I don't think that necessarily solves the problem. And by the way, he's one of your top three corners. So when he gets hurt or tired, that's going to hinder your back end. Back-to-back.
Malik Nabers, definitely a stud wide receiver, but he went top 10.
I'm not asking about Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze or Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm saying receivers you could have had the way you drafted. Like, McConkey's not a beast. He's a guy. He's not going to be a number one wide receiver. He's not going to change things. Like, DeMario Douglas is fine. You have DeMario Douglas. So,
Pop is fine. I like Pop had a great game, got his first touchdown, told everyone he was going to go home and sleep with the ball. I was thrilled for him.
My point is, this is not the year where DK and Debo and AJ Brown all went and you could have had them, or Puka Nacua and you could have had them. So far, we're not really seeing these massive later picks at the wide receiver position, just like we're also not really seeing massive success later at tackle. I would have traded up, I think, for a tackle. I would have traded up for one of those tackles that were going in the late 20s, and I would have tried to see if he could fit. But they are slow playing it. I think they're trying to do blue chip, blue chip, blue chip. And I think it's a solid plan. If they nail a early first round tackle and then get T. Higgins, I think within a year, you've done a pretty admirable job.
Jordan Watson, who usually brings the funny to the feed, watching live on Facebook, actually just with a legitimately good question. Besides not getting a left tackle, why put a rookie play caller in to assist a rookie? It's a very good question.
Well, you were,
like, did you want to grow them together?
Andy? You were going to do that either way. I mean, the top choices were who? Nick Cayley, Zach Robinson. They were all going to be rookie play callers. You just happened to get the rookie play caller who's not young, who's been hanging around for 20 years and finally was given an opportunity. If you want to question the AVP hiring, I'm all for it. I didn't like it at the time. You can go back and listen to the Rich Keefe show. I was live when the news came out and I hated it. And I was,
I remember you guys were not like you guys what referred to him as the 12th option.
And I felt bad, but the truth is never mean. And I didn't see the luster and allure of Alex Van Pelt. And six games into the season, I don't see the luster and allure of Alex Van Pelt.
All right. A couple last little things. Robert Kraft appeared on the Breakfast Club podcast, talked about Bill Belichick and giving him too much power. I don't want to go back into that thing. He talked about Tom Brady, that whole decision. Have no idea why Robert Kraft wanted to do this podcast appearance in the first place. Don't need the distraction now. Did talk about the fact that in giving Bill Belichick too much power, he had no safeguards, and he feels as though that's part of the reason why the roster is in the current state that it is, because they were not getting the results they wanted the last few years, and the drafting was kind of bad. In that answer, I take a little comfort, and I agree, but also at the same time, he's just showing that it was poorly handled, and now, like, trying to exonerate himself, just it. I don't want the distraction. I don't feel like going over this time again. We have to address it because we're a Patriots podcast, but didn't love the appearance and don't need the extra agitation right now. What we do need to focus on, he also said that if Jabril Peppers is found guilty or they learn that the video does not fully exonerate him, then he'll be gone immediately and they'll get rid of
themselves. As he should be.
Absolutely 100%. It's no questions asked. Zero tolerance policy. When you don't have your best defensive lineman, your best linebacker, and then your best safety right straight up the gut, like lousy pitcher, lousy shortstop, lousy center fielder, you're probably not going to have great defense, which brings us to our last point, Andy. The hell are the Patriots going to do to fix their defense?
Get Christian Barmore back. He's been getting more and more active on social media. He put a picture out yesterday of him playing football. So, you know, I don't want to put it on him because that's not fair to him on a lot of levels. You know, coming off a health scare, a health issue, to say, now I need you to be the savior of my defense. But it certainly won't hurt the defense if you can get Christian Barmore back on the field. Because you know who I think has been sneaky bad in recent weeks?
Who?
Your boy, Keon White. I think all the rushers,
he's
the
your
long
boy.
Run. Oh, now neither of us wants him?
You know who sneaky out loud stinks and I would give to Detroit for a 7th round pick? Uchay.
He's not great. None of those guys have stepped up. Remember the whole story, like,
no pass
this
rush.
Will be good. You trade Judon, and it'll give the opportunity for guys like Jennings and Uche and White to step up. White stepped up for a couple weeks. He ain't done crap in the last 4 weeks. In fact, has made more mistakes than he's made plays, and most of the big plays allowed, I feel like he's been negatively involved in.
Ah, that's hurtful and probably true. Yeah, he hasn't been great. Getting too far upfield, getting knocked off their spot, occasional pressure. Anthony Jennings can only do so much. Dietrich Wise, same thing. There's just no pass rush. And now people are going to enter the chat with good thing we traded Judon. You know, they got a 3rd-round pick for him on a team that desperately needs an infusion of youth and talent and potential. Matt Judon is much better than anyone else that is currently on this roster. But what would it do for the 2024 Patriots, who look to have a pretty low ceiling in the first place?
It would hurt their draft pick. You might accidentally win a game somewhere along the way if he has a strip sack or something. So I don't want that. I'm telling you, the Indy Hart plan is coming to fruition. You're getting Drake May on the field. He's making plays, making highlights, getting excitement, giving entertainment value, losing games, getting a number one pick, trading number one pick, getting a tackle, getting a star wide receiver. And baby, you're in the playoff conversation this time next year.
Are you at all concerned, though? Final question. Are you at all concerned that Devon Godshow said in the postgame on Sunday that he felt like guys were kind of checking out, making business decisions to not, like, they weren't fully committed. There wasn't a lot, like, there seemed to be some resignation on the defense. Like, man, these guys are better. We just can't cover Diggs. Gonzo, your boy Gonzo Sunday.
Yeesh. It happens.
They had to switch to zone. They had to switch to zone just to stop him from getting burned so much.
He's not perfect. And I thought it was a little overrated. He was chasing Diggs. He wasn't tight coverage, but I didn't think he looked like a, you know, chicken with his head cut off, no idea where to go, running around crazily. He was chasing. He was beaten by a guy who is a good number one receiver, and the quarterback is a good young quarterback and got the ball to his good number one receiver. I didn't think it was embarrassing. That was
no. He won. Diggs won the day.
And yeah, that's going to happen. He's not freaking Darrell Revis. Can we stop with that?
Who said he was Darrell?
All you people.
You misheard.
No, I misread on social media where people told me he was like the best corner in football. He's not. It's fine. He's good.
Andy sounds so butthurt.
Right. My butt's nice and clean.
I'll pick up Devon White and Hassan Reddick if available. Yeah, who's got I want zero part of Hassan Reddick. Zero part.
I might consider Devon White. Is it Devon or Devin?
Devin White. Him. Yeah, like he's good. He's a good linebacker as well.
I'd take him. But Christian Ellis has been playing a lot.
I don't think we need to. Yes, Gonzo is very good, but he lost. You know, this is a kind
of great from you people.
Okay, I would like to remind everybody. Guess what? Sunday was his ninth NFL game. He's barely halfway through what is an oversized rookie campaign. The guy needs time, and also Steph Diggs usually grabs lunch out of the Patriots cornerbacks and eats it right in front of him as well. And Pop Douglas. Hopefully he becomes Tank Dell as well, because Pop is really good, but Tank Dell, man, when that kid is healthy, whoo. Also, the run defense, maybe Godshow was right. Those guys need to beef up and step up, because
maybe he needs to shut up and just play.
Whoa!
He talks a lot. Have you noticed he talks a lot? Seems like every week he's got something to say about somebody.
He does, and usually wearing something very fancy.
Yeah, and I know that's hypocritical. Oh, you guys in the media complain when guys don't talk, and now you're saying this guy talks too much. You did it with Mayo. You were happy.
Wow, here's an idea. Here's an idea. This is interesting. Trade Wayne Felch with a comment launching live on Facebook. To secure T. Higgins now, trade a second and Jalen Polk? That's a lot.
I would do it last week. Next week, any week you want a week. I mean, did anybody watch out the other night? I know the Bengals offense wasn't cooking exactly, but T. Higgins looked good. Looked strong-handed and willing to step up. I am ready for the T. Higgins experience in New England. Tee him up.
And just like I'm with ice, baby. Javon Baker needs to be in the starting lineup. He's a great route runner.
He is not a great route runner. Whoa. Ice, baby, you need to slow your roll and melt yourself, because he is not a great route runner. He's a questionable route runner at best. And he's questionable work ethic, questionable attitude, questionable hands. He's just a big old questionable.
Inappropriate talk, innuendos, nonsense, arguing. This is what talk radio was like 30 years ago. That's why.
Actually think I may have arrived at talk radio like 30 years too late. I think I would have kicked ass and taken names in like.
Oh, 90s. Totally. Oh, just like Andy. I've always said like
Archie Bunker style stuff.
Yeah, you would have been great on The Big Show or something like that back in the day, where like the low hanging fruit, the broad references, the towing of the line. Easy. Just like I always believe I was born 40 years too late. I'm born to be a 1960s game show host with this voice, these pipes, these looks. Come on.
That's
now.
True. I don't disagree with you. So now we're both just
out of place and out of time. And we're out of time.
Failures.
And that'll do for the latest Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Thank you guys for watching live on the WEEI and Fitzy GFY socials. Thank you guys for telling your friends. This is a great forum to talk football in Foxborough. May Day has come. Will there be more joy, more touchdowns, and more hope to follow? We shall see. I'll be live at Gillette Stadium Sunday hosting the season ticket member party. Andy and I will be back with a preview podcast later in the week. Tomorrow, I'll have someone from Pro Football Focus on to give us the analytics and a little bit more of a critical look at Drake May's first start and what the number nerds think of Drake May going forward. So we've got a ton lined up for you. Stay tuned. Tell your friends. God bless. And as always,
Go Pats.